You know, I've had such a burden for quite some time. Really about me. And I know what you said, brother, how it's not all about you. And I don't mean about me. I mean about my call to the ministry. I mean about my life and the way I lived prior to my call to the ministry. Brother Matt's right. You know, there's a exclusive group of us men. We were all called right around the same time. It'd be interesting to see if the Lord calls those men to a pastorate, because Brother Matt was called first. I was called second. I think Kevin was called third, I think. And Tim, I think, was fourth. And we did encourage each other. We did get together. And I think how often, as we got together, we'd want to engage in doctrinal conversations that I wasn't ready to speak, to talk back, to have those conversations. Because as Brother Dan said, I very shamefully, for many years, sidelined my ministry to my career. And so for the last several months, really, folks, what I'm taking you through today is my personal study. The things, the personal burdens, the personal things that I have studied out over the last few months. Starting off with Acts chapter 2, verse 15, 11 through 15, that we started going through the book of Acts shortly after we came to Murray. And by the way, greetings from Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Murray, Kentucky. Pray for us tonight. We are going to have some very inclement weather come through. For some reason, we have shifted to Tornado Alley. Brother Wes Titus and I are not far from each other. My family lives 4 minutes from Blessed Hope, so it's a quick drive. And Brother Wes and I, we had tried and tried and tried to get together to watch a Lions game, both being Lions fans, all season long. Never happened. I'd get sick. He'd be away working, whatever the case may be. Well, a tornado came, and Brother Wes and I were real cozy and close in the basement of Blessed Hope in March. So you pray for our area, if you would. We've had some devastating weather. We've been blessed, but pray for us tonight as you do that. And of course, we have a conference coming up in July, and I'd invite you all to come to that. Just a good old-fashioned conference with 10 seasoned men preaching, and I'm excited about it. So you pray for that. But I want to just bring you to the expectation of ministers. Not because I am a standard, not because I have things figured out, but because it's my burden. Because as I sit and I preach to some of you brethren that I'm very close to, and I think there's 5 men here today that I could count off the top of my head that are called preachers. Understand your calling. Understand the expectation of your calling. Take it very seriously. I look back in over 8 years or 9 years of being called to the ministry, I think of how often I did not take it seriously. And I pray for you all as you seek these things out. And Lord, be our helper tonight. We're going to talk about expectations. Talk about a way that maybe I can encourage you in the ministry to not do what I've done and to please the Lord more. We're going to skip around a little bit. I, like Brother Dan, had great difficulty trying to find this message. There's so much burden in it for me. And at church, just recently, we started going through the Pauline letters. And so a lot of this came from Timothy. But in 1 Timothy, I want to pick up in verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip down. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Skip down to verse 12. And I think Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have. Lord, I'm so thankful to have heard the message that went before, Lord. I'm so thankful to be accountable to that message, Lord. I'm so thankful for the encouraging words. Lord, I pray that as these messages go forth, Lord, that you would get all the honor and all the glory. Lord, I pray that it would be nothing of ourselves, Lord, and only of the words that we need to hear. Lord, I pray that you would be my helper as we speak, Lord, be the words in my mouth, Lord. I pray that you'd give us all that we need as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not just preaching to the called preachers. The burden on expectations came to me as a dad, as somebody who put my career before my raising my children, thinking that I was doing everything I needed to do to provide for my children. And then the other layer to that comes from our study in the book of Acts when it talks about the young men and it talks about the expectations of the young men, thinking that young men in the New Testament means men under 40. Well, that's applicable. Thinking about the book of Acts and thinking about how young, youthful those ones were. See, it was different for me being called to the ministry. I've suffered such great discouragement because I am so much younger than men like Brother Dan. I don't like coming to conferences and being the one to preach. I like being the one to get preached to. I want the knowledge. I want the wisdom. I want to hear what the Lord has given somebody. As a pastor and all that we do, I just thirst for preaching, desire the preaching. And I've suffered such great discouragement. I've been in and around the churches for almost 32 years. Most of you, it seems like my grandfather comes into every message, but he was such a huge part of my life. If you don't know me or you don't know him, that's okay. But Roger Jones was my grandfather, and he was such a huge part of my life. He was so close with me, and I was blessed to have learned so much from him. And I've had men call me. And I want to use this specifically to you men that are called, if this ever happens to you. I've had men call me and say, well, you're Roger Jones's grandson, so I want to hear what you have to say. How discouraging that was for me, because I don't have anything to say. And it's made me at times be so discouraged to have to stand in a conference. I've seen growing up with my grandfather, with my dad, who surrendered to preach in 94, I've seen men fly onto the scene, and you... Preachers, you understand this. It's discouraging. But one of the first things you see is somebody get called. They're brand new. They're fresh. They've got something new. They've got something they're going to preach really, really hard over and over and over again. I've been so discouraged at times in my ministry because, folks, we're doing two things when we preach. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we're preaching for people to live more like Him. That's it. And oftentimes I've been given the message from the Lord to preach for people to be more like Him. And as our brother read earlier, it's difficult. It's very difficult. That passage there in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth." I grabbed the first Thessalonians. I knew it didn't sound right. I think I said it backwards. I was reading it. Yeah, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Men, when you stand and speak, you might get difficult messages. You might not get a gospel, right down only gospel message every time you speak. You might have a trying of the hearts message. You might sit out and preach and there is no amen. And sometimes that's okay. It's the looks that you get. It's the fighting and the pushing against those things. Keep preaching. Keep on preaching it. Here in 1 Timothy, I want you to understand your calling. Now, I don't have to hit on it real hard because Brother Dan, he warmed it right up. You're called by God. Fear Him. Don't fear the people. I thank God. I've been a people pleaser in my life. And I thank God at times of the difficult messages I can recall. And I've even talked with Brother Dan some over the discouragement of those difficult messages at times. And I thank God that I have more fear of Him than I do the people. And that's where you need to be. When you stand and you go from pulpit to pulpit to pulpit to pulpit, you preach what the Lord has given you. My grandfather always used to say, he would talk to me like I was a preacher or going to be a preacher. I wasn't saved until I was almost 16 years old. Matter of fact, that was the summer I met Brother Matt Rowland. And Brother Matt had my respect from an early on point in my life. My little brother got away with everything. He knows where I'm going. He's going to start laughing in a second. And we were at camp. And nobody would listen to Brother Matt. So every time in the junior cabin that nobody would listen to Brother Matt, my brother had to run around the cabin. Nobody else, just my brother. And he got out of everything growing up. So to have somebody that could, you know, nail my brother down, he had my respect right away. And even at that age, in those teenage years, my grandfather, after I was saved, would talk to me. Well, he talked to me before that, come to think of it, like I was going to be a preacher. I thought he was crazy. Folks, stop talking. Start talking to your children like they're going to be the next preacher and preacher's wife. Start raising your children like they're going to be the next preacher and preacher's wife or pastor and pastor's wife. We parent kids because they're lost, and we parent kids because they're saved differently. It should be the same expectation. And that was my burden. That's been so heavy on my heart. You've been called to the greatest possible calling. It's weighty, discouraging, lonely, and it's the most wonderful calling that you can do. I was in a position 2-3 years ago where made as much money as I wanted, could do what I wanted. Was getting ready to take over a company of 100 people. Miserable. Because I sidelined my ministry. Being called to the ministry is the most blessed thing you can do. Be prepared to leave your family, your friends, your home, everything you know. And if it's of the Lord, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. I also want you to understand something else. We're not worthy of it. We're not worthy. study to show thyself approved does not mean you're worthy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace." Grace, mercy, and peace. I was so discouraged at times of having to stand up and preach, thinking, what if I don't say or believe or do this later on? It's by God's grace that He sustained me. It's by God's grace that He sustained every man that has stood and been faithful for years and years and years. It is not, I don't have to worry about so and so. I know doctrine. It's by God's grace that I'm even here today. There's much of my life I should have known doctrine. I didn't know doctrine because I was too worried about everything else that was going on. By all the biblical principles, I'm not the one that should be the ones called to be a pastor. But God placed me there. Had grace to place me there. You young men, you pastors' wives, and everybody else, it is by grace that you are sustained. It's not what you know. Because too often it's what people know and what people think, and they're the next one to stand up to be the smartest person in the room with something new. That's not the way it should be either. Grace sustains you. mercy blesses you. As a new pastor, I think of, I can look back and go, oh man, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I think back, man, there's more wrongs there than there was right. A lot of hard lessons, and I'm on lap number one. A lot more to learn. Pray for mercy. You preachers and preachers' wives, you pray for mercy in ministry together. And by praying for grace and praying for mercy, you'll get peace. I didn't get this message till 8:15 this morning, sitting at my parents' house in Toledo. I knew grace, mercy, and peace was coming in. I knew it had something to do with preaching to my brothers. The Lord made that abundantly clear, but I didn't have this message. And I finally got peace this morning. A gift from God. On a message from God, not from me. Not from me. God placed us in the ministry. And by grace, we will be steadfast in the ministry. Understand that today, it's not by you. It's by grace. I've really come to love this verse and go down here into verse 3 in 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's two words there that I absolutely love. Abiding still. Abiding still. You know, I didn't do a very good job at that. I think back to all the years of nearly a third of my life. More like a quarter of my life. I guess I need to do math better. Of being in the ministry. And how much I didn't do well abiding still. Man, if you're going to be called, it's not because you're going to go find it. It's going to be because God's going to come call you. Abide still. Continue learning. Be an example. To abide means to stay for a short time. To be immovable. Preachers need to be immovable. It's your time to be trained. You know, I was thinking about Timothy, and I presented this to the church, and I would love... I don't claim to be right all the time. I really don't. Brother Matt and I, when I was ordained, he came up to me and all the men had some words of encouragement. And Brother Matt said, I'm just getting started too, so we're going to suffer in this together. And we've had some of those conversations of, what, you know, where's the encouragement? What do we do? How do you get through these situations? And one of the things that came to me thinking about that was, The abiding, the being immovable, the need to preach to young men and to young women in the faith to be immovable. And as I think about young men, Timothy, and this, he couldn't have been older than 39 years old. He couldn't have been, because the Bible considers him a youth. Well, 40, no offense to anybody, but 40, biblically, you're no longer a youth. So he was young. He was young in the ministry. I tend to think that he probably was younger than that yet. We can have expectations for young people to minister. Maybe not to... I want to be careful how I say it. You know, you didn't hear this years ago. I'm not that old, but you didn't hear of a conference with a bunch of young men preaching. A lot of you have been around long enough to know this didn't happen. It was the most seasoned of men. It's terrifying. But Timothy was young, and we can encourage, and I pray that I encourage you young men in your ministry. That you abide still, that you be careful, that you be steadfast, that you be immovable, that you use the time that you have with your pastor right now to become immovable. Because the first thing that happens is you get called to preach, and we think that your training is preaching at 50 different churches. That's not your training. I think about my message even today. It wasn't until this morning that I knew what I was going to preach. Brother Dan stepped all over my notes. I don't even know why I have it. I have to lean on the Lord to preach, just like I do every other time that I step in a pulpit. Young men, you don't need to learn how to preach. You need to learn how to pastor, which means you need to follow your pastor. You need to stay close to your pastor. You need to learn all that you can from your pastor. If you're a preacher's wife, then you better stay close to your pastor's wife. Learn what you can there. It's not a rush to go preach at 50 or 60 or 70 different churches. Learn how to pastor. I can't give you a whole lot of advice. I'm just getting started. But I can encourage you to not be me and cling to your pastor. If you don't have a love for God's word, then make your calling to the ministry sure. You should love it. I mean, you should just want to dive in and read. You should want to learn all that you can learn. And I'm ashamed to say that more times than not, I wasn't. By grace, God sustained me. Mercy, He gave me. We need to abide still. You know, ministry, you look at verse number 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. There was a place Timothy went. There is a way Timothy went. There's still a way to minister. You don't get called and just go evangelize. You don't get called and just go do what you want. When the Lord calls you into the ministry, He places you somewhere with a message to a people for a certain time. That's the method. Don't go search for the place. He'll give it to you. You be patient. I tell you from experience, the last 3 years of my career living in Northwest Ohio was miserable. Miserable. So many times I'd come home and I would know, this is not where I'm supposed to be. It's miserable. You're homesick for a place that you don't know is home. You have to abide still. You have to be steadfast. Because if the Lord grants you the opportunity to pastor a church, you have to abide still. Because there's going to be times of great difficulty. There's going to be times where you toss your hands up and you go, what now? There's been times in my ministry where my wife and I have had plans after not seeing each other for so many days or times. Or, you know, I work full time. I've been blessed to have a job that works within my ministry. I've been blessed by the church. They do all that they can for me. And I still work full time. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities, because I've been given a great boss that has taught me a lot and it's translated into the ministry. But there's been times where I have to come home and something happens and I have to say, sorry, honey. And she goes, I know. Go. You better be prepared for it. You better be prepared for the difficulty. You better be prepared to abide still. Because when there's wolves among you, when there's people trying to tear you apart, when there's people with their own motives, you have to outlast them. Be careful. I think about mercy. You know, one of the worst messages I ever preached, I was so ignorant to, was in 2019 at Faith Baptist Church in Murray, Kentucky. I preached an entire gospel message, and not once did I ever mention that you have to hear the word. Not once. Well, the Lord called me there and was merciful to me. You can't have a perfect ministry, but we should be on the upward trajectory. We should be desiring to serve the Lord. Brother Randy Graber came down and preached a revival. I had a burden for the family. Our church has 8 families in it. And other than a few, the age of our church is about 22 to 40. With many children. I had such a burden for the family. And the thing that Brother Graber kept bringing back was, you're either pleasing self or you're pleasing God. And men, I encourage you, and women, I encourage you, in everything you do, put that meter in your mind. Ask the Lord to ingrain that in your mind. Am I pleasing me or am I pleasing God? And ask for grace that you please Him. Ask for grace that you please Him. You know, Timothy didn't do what he pleased. He was under the authority and the care of somebody. He was told what to go teach, and he taught it. We see the instructions. We see that we're just the mouthpiece for the message. Pastoring, it's a shepherd, one that has care of the flocks or the herds. The best way I can tell you to learn how to be a pastor is to watch yours. Watch yours care for the flock. Watch how poorly he's treated. Watch how poorly your pastor's wife is treated. Be careful, men and women. And if you're here and you're not called to that position, watch how poorly you're treating your pastor and your pastor's wife. Because you can be a great discouragement to them. But yet you can also be a great encouragement to them. A preacher is one that pronounces on a religious subject. That's why I've had such a burden on expectations for ministers. We want to send them out to get taught, but the training is really back at home. And there's no completion course until the time that God calls you to the ministry. And you're going to learn a whole lot more, a whole lot faster when the Lord calls you in. Abide still. Abide still. Make sure you're faithful in church. I think of how often I was there. I sat back there. I didn't miss a service, but I wasn't faithful. I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to serve the way I served. As a Sunday, Wednesday, stiff-necked Christian that think I knew it all. I don't want you to do that. Be faithful. Faithful means you have to be faithful in the good times and the bad times. And so often we want to be the kind of church member that's faithful in the good and not faithful in the bad. We don't want to be faithful in the abiding still. I say with such shame in those years how difficult it was, knowing I was not home but didn't know where home was, how much I tried to find it myself. Can't do that. Abide still. Serve the Lord where you're at. You can't find the calling. It will find you. abiding still can be very painful. But that's a pain that teaches you the endurance for the ministry. I've talked to some of you, and you've said, I feel like I'm being called. Multiples of you, matter of fact, as we reconnect from time to time. I feel like I'm being called. I've been there. Abide still. You will know when you are called. December 26th of 2023 was the worst day of my adult life. I wasn't what I should have been. I wasn't where I should have been. I had caused a whole lot of ruckus. And you know why? Because I wasn't abiding still. Because I was trying to find things myself. Let me just give you an overshot. I bought a house that I said, we won't make money on this house now, but in about 10 years we will. I didn't make money on it. And I wasn't abiding still. I was trying to find something. Be patient. Be patient. It's painful, but be patient. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of course, you know where I'm going in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must study. I am so thankful for God's mercy in my life. When I said that was the worst day on December 26th, I had already preached at Murray in November. In December 27th, see, we had a couple acres out in the middle of nowhere, and at midnight on December 26th, I found myself face down on the ground, bawling my eyes out, because I'd come to the end of myself. Couldn't fix anything, couldn't change anything that I had done. I was done running. And the next day, Murray called me in view of a call. In the whole time throughout that process, I knew I was going to Murray. I knew I was going to Murray. God was merciful to me. You pray for mercy, you pray for grace, and you pray for peace. You must study. I didn't love the word like I do now. The problem is I get so excited. And I can't get to enough of it. I don't have the time to read enough of it. There's so much I want to read. There's so much I want to learn. Study. Study so that you're approved before God. And we like to think about that in the context. That means you have to continuously study. There's no mark of approval on that. But your desire should be to study. Studied to be approved, to not be ashamed. I think about that group that Brother Matt was talking about, and I remember times of conversations coming up. Brother, I was ashamed. I was ashamed. Brother Kevin doesn't remember this, I'm sure. Maybe he does. Maybe he learned something from me. I remember picking him up and I worked in the car business, so I haven't owned a car in 11 years, except for just a little bit. And I picked him up in my expensive truck, and I had music playing, and it wasn't Christian music. Brother, I've never forgot that. How much of a discouragement that I could have been to him. Because I wasn't abiding still. And I pray that God was merciful to him on my account. But I was ashamed. You know, in as I try to finish this up, we always like this part, study to show thyself approved. We love that part, don't we? It means that we can do something. But there's a part in this verse that I really believe we miss. And I believe, as a young man, I missed it a lot, and my caution is to you others. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It ought to scare you to step up in a pulpit and preach. If it doesn't scare you, ask somebody else to go for you. It ought to scare you to have the responsibility of rightly dividing the word. Because that is how so many people have gone aside. They don't rightly divide the word. Studying to show yourself approved, you might as well practice writing message after message after message that you will never preach. I have those. I was listening to a message here. It's funny in the youth, it kind of comes full circle. It's 1988. I believe it was 88 or 89. Brother Dan stood up and it was those old times I was talking about, not telling you you're old, but kind of at the same time. You said your last lap, so. He talked about, I'm the least of them that are here, meaning that he was the younger of them that were here. Talking about ministers needing to take heed. And then I remember hearing him talking in another study here many years later about a message that he had wrote 15 years ago. That studying, that rightly dividing the word of truth, you may not get to preach it today. But you don't get a message that goes unpreached without a reason. It always gets preached. It just may be to you. That's how I feel. A lot has been for me. Young men, we can have all the knowledge, all the pride, all the frustration, all the impatience. You can have unfaithfulness. You can have bitterness. You can be puffed up. Early on, I got to go preach a lot of places. And it puffed me up. It made me prideful. Preaching should be an opportunity for learning, for serving. But you abide still in between the preaching engagements. I preached less in the last 5 years than I did the first four. I think at one time I went over a year without preaching. And that's okay. Your pastor has every right to tell you when you can and cannot preach. Where you can and cannot preach. If you have a problem with that, you're not following him. You're trying to follow you, and that is a red flag. I remember times when Pastor Titus would say, well, they called me to ask me if you could preach. That's a blessing, knowing I had my pastor's approval to go preach. But with all that preaching and all that pride, what that does is that causes us to not rightly divide the word of truth. I call them the supposers of Acts. They're in Acts chapter 2, after the day of Pentecost and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming down into the church there in the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem, as they came down and they filled the mouths of the ones there to speak in all of the native languages, not gibberish. I'm not preaching that message tonight. But as they filled them to speak, the word went forth. The devout Jews, those ones that were around, said, these men are full of new wine. Peter stands up and says, these men are not full of new wine, as ye suppose. Young men, you can quickly become supposers. That's where church problems happen. Because we get filled with pride, we get filled with arrogance, we get filled with bitterness, we get filled with all sorts of emotions because we've been told, no, stop, don't do this, don't do that, and we become supposers and we stop rightly dividing the word. And furthermore, when your pastor is trying to lead you, you need to listen. Men don't need to rush into the ministry. They need to be right on time. There's been men that have rushed into the ministry, and not only have they led themselves astray, they've led other people astray as well. That's a great danger. That's why it's so serious. I don't ever want to keep anybody from the ministry. Going into the ministry, pastoring a church, folks, it saved my life. I haven't even seen the effects on what it's done for my family. But I was blessed enough to be able to baptize my daughter. And I don't know what comes next. I don't want to keep anybody from the ministry, but you don't rush to it. My wife read a statistic early on, and I'm probably going to butcher it because I didn't plan on saying it. Early on into our ministry, and I didn't know this, but the average, now, air quotes, pastor doesn't make it 5 years in the ministry. That's because they're not called to it. When you're called, there's no giving up. And I urge you to remember that there's no giving up. Toss all things aside. Look for grace, mercy, and peace. Because you'll do this till the end. Or if your attitude should be that. Don't become supposers in Scripture. Lastly, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've spoke about youth and I've spoke about the youthfulness of service. And folks, I really believe that we need to have an expectation for kids. We've lost it. We've lost the fact that kids can have a service in the church. We've lost the fact that they can sit still. That they don't need toys. That they don't need entertainment. I preached on Wednesday night back in Wasean, and I really didn't want to, but I knew it was the message the Lord wanted me to preach on what are we expecting out of our children. My daughter will say occasionally, I'm bored. I said, good. It's a good thing you're bored. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to parent you. And oftentimes we in the ministry, we get bored. We have itching ears. We don't want to endure hardness as a good soldier. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, these things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Why do we need expectations for children? You know, I preach very sternly my convictions to the church. I preach to the eight men, including myself, because I preach to myself. I preach very sternly to the eight men between the ages of 22 and 40 what biblical expectations for a home is. what biblical expectations for men in a church is. Because of my failures, I have convictions. We have to have expectations for children. We have to have expectations for church members. We have to have expectations for ministers. I believe for you that are called, or if you ever may be called, the number one thing that you should remember is you must be blameless. It will cause you to stop in everything you do. It's very simple. Can someone blame me? Am I guilty before the Lord for what I've done? I am the product of mercy. I am not worthy. I think about this verse 12. But be thou an example. Don't let anybody say you're young. Don't give anybody a reason to say you're young. But be an example in your youth. That's why we have expectation for children. That's why we should have an expectation of ourselves. But you can't have an expectation and not uphold to it. And worse, you can't have an expectation and not live it. And that's where we're at. That's why we become Wednesday and Sunday Christians. Because the expectation is to go to church, not to live for the Lord. Oh, I get these moments, and I've described them to church where it's, I feel like, Lord, I just feel like I need to say something, you know? And I'm looking for the red light. Don't say it. You know, just stop, but don't go there. But I didn't get the red light. You can't be gentle and disciplined in a church. You can't be gentle and disciplining yourself in sin. You certainly can't be gentle and disciplining your children. I'll leave it at that. Be an example in word. Be an example in conversation. Be an example in love. Pastors, you ought to love your church. You ought to have the deepest love for your church. You ought to have a love for those people. I've had to have difficult conversations in just a year. I accepted the call in March. Of 24. I've had to have some very difficult conversations. Not liked. But I love my church. I love my people. Not only do I give account for their souls, I don't want them to do what I did. I've said it over and over again. I don't want them going down that road. And so I've chased after them. Don't do that. Be careful. And by God's grace, even if they don't like it, I'm going to keep on doing it. Love your church. Meditate. Give attendance to reading. Verse 15, as we close, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Brethren, those of you that are called to the ministry, the profiting of your work, the profiting of your serving the Lord should appear to everyone. It should not come as a surprise to people that you are a God-called minister or a God-called preacher. Furthermore, if you're going to say that you're a preacher, you better act like a preacher. We have a problem. I had a problem with saying I was a preacher when I wanted to and not acting like it the rest of the time. Act like a preacher. Act like every day is a sermon where you step up here with your head down and you leave with your head down. Just praying that you serve the Lord in your service. Give yourself wholly. Take heed. pay attention, take heed, watch, be careful unto thyself. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. Take heed. Be patient. You might be miserable. Don't do anything today that would hurt you if you were called tomorrow. Take it from me. Don't buy a house that you know will increase in value in a decade. I didn't even get to live there 2 years. Don't do what I did. Be ready, but abide still. And pray for grace, mercy, and peace. Brother Matt.